1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show. Your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
All right, welcome to the program. In just a few minutes, Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun, will be by. We're going to chat about OVC Football Media Day, get Ed's thoughts on that, have a little bit of a scheduling update as far as Murray State basketball goes, and find out what Ed's up to. He's going to have to join me by phone today because he's busy this week doing other things. So it's all coming up with Ed in just a few minutes. Get you caught up on a few things. Pretty good day this yesterday and a decent day this week for the Newcombs, former Murray State golfers, finishing in the top five at the Kentucky Open. But Cooper Musselman with a 4-under par 67 yesterday. That helped him earn the individual crown at Hurstbourne Country Club in Louisville. Musselman, the second UK Wildcat golfer to claim an individual title this summer. Chip McDaniel did that at the Kentucky State Amateur. Musselman, over 54 holes, shot a 206, won the event by a stroke over the second-place finisher, Murray State's Patrick Newcomb, with a share of third place at 208, and brother Nick Newcomb came in fifth at 209. Congratulations to the Murray State Women's Track and Field Program, honored with distinction as an all-academic team by the United States Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association. Terrific job by the athletes and head coach Jenny Sweeten. She called it awesome to see them accomplish their goals in the classroom as well as on the track, understanding that they are student athletes, which is very important at Murray State. The GPA for the team, 3.29. That's outstanding. The U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association recognized a total of 218 Division I women's teams. That's quite a total there. The racer is one of eight teams in the OVC to be honored. So looks like a lot of really good students in that field. J.D. Martinez providing all the offense Arizona would need as the Diamondbacks blanked the Cardinals 4-0 last night in St. Louis. Zach Godley struck out seven over seven shutout innings to pick up the win for Arizona. Luke Weaver gave up five hits and four runs over five innings to take the loss for St. Louis. He says one pitch changed the game.
Big learning game, big situation. They came out on top. I mean, heck of a lineup they got. Great hitter there in that moment, and just elevated a little too high, and you got a good swing on it.
Paul DeJong had two of the Cardinals' five hits off the starter Zach Godley, who Cardinals' Greg Garcia said was really on.
We remember facing him over at their place. We knew he has good stuff, and I think he did a better job tonight just kind of not giving in certain, you know, in hitters' counts. He made better pitches in hitters' counts.
So the teams will meet again tonight, second of a four-game set. Michael Wacha against Robbie Ray. We're on with it at 6:20 on WNBS. Down on the farm, last night's game between Salt Lake, the Bees, and Memphis, the Redbirds, suspended due to rain in Memphis. Rain, what's that? The Redbirds leading 3-1 in the second inning, so they'll resume that game today before the teams meet in the finale of the four-game set tonight. Some other minor league action. The Nashville Sounds fell to the Las Vegas 51-7-2 at home. Zach Neal gave up nine hits and five runs over less than four frames to take the loss. The series continues today in Nashville. The Louisville Bats lost 5-4 to Syracuse on the road. Sebastian Elizalde and Brandon Dixon homered in defeat. The Bats visit Buffalo today. Tennessee Titans adding some pass rushing help. As training camp gets underway, Tennessee agreed to a deal with outside linebacker Eric Walden Thursday. The 31-year-old recorded a career-high 11 sacks and 16 starts with the rival Colts last season. Walden has 31 career sacks with Indianapolis, Kansas City, Miami, and Green Bay over his 9-year career. The Titans begin fall camp tomorrow at Baptist Sports Park in Nashville. Some college football news. University of Tennessee will be honoring Peyton Manning this fall for his induction into the College Football Hall of Fame. He'll be recognized at halftime of the Georgia game on September 30th. Manning is the 23rd Hall of Fame inductee in Vols history. And four-star defensive end Daniel Parker Jr. is committing to play for Missouri. He revealed his decision by posting a picture on Twitter of he and head coach Barry Odom together. The Blue Springs, Missouri high school product is the Tigers' first in-state commit for next year. Parker was also considering Kentucky, Iowa, Iowa State, Minnesota, and Central Florida. All right, I'll take a break. When I come back, Ed Marlowe of the Paducah Sun will join me. On Friday night, August 18th at 6:30, tune into 104.5 WBZB for opening night as the Callaway County Lakers travel to Ohio County to battle the Eagles. At the same time, on 1340 WNBS, tradition rolls on as Murray High hosts the Graves County Eagles. Football season is coming. Tune in to the Busy Bee for the Lakers and WNBS for the Tigers. Then watch the Eclipse 3 days later. Followed by more football 4 days after that on the Busy Bee and WNBS. Welcome back to the program. Normally, Ed Marlowe and I chat on Wednesday, but I had a prior obligation, so unable to do that. We'll be back on a regular schedule next week. We're joined by Ed via telephone today, and we are going to talk about OVC Football Media Day, among other things. But, Ed, you guys, you and your photographer, are out quite busy today. Tell me what's going on with you.
I'm glad you asked, Neil. Really, today and the next few days, Ryan Hermans, our photographer, and myself will be visiting with cover athletes for the upcoming Paducah Sun Pigskin Preview for the 2017 football season. Four athletes we've chosen, all linebackers, all with fairly similar stories. Hunter Van Hooser of Caldwell County, Skylar Mays of McCracken County, Kyle Hurt of Mayfield, and Lamont Crittenden at Murray State. All four guys that are seasoned veterans, really good linebackers for their teams. And all four have a unique situation where they'll actually have a new quarterback on their team. And so, obviously, that puts a big onus on a defense going into the regular season. Whether they want to admit it or not, they know that they maybe have to play a notch better than they usually do. And all four of these guys deliver their all. I don't mean that at all, but it's a situation where these defenses are going to have to just remain sharp. You know, a lot of times when a defense has a great quarterback, they can – make a few mistakes because they get covered up by the great play of an offense. But as these offenses continue to find new legs going into the new season, these defenses have to be ready to respond, get the ball. Talking with Hunter Van Hooser on Thursday and talking with Kyle Hurt, on Friday, you know, these are two guys that, you know they're going to have to play their very best on every down to, in order to just ensure that their defense is successful. So, like I said, all four of these guys, just a really unique story going into this season.
And it is, this is the day, it's Friday when this show airs. It is the 28th day of July. And Ed, by the time we move ahead a month, the high school football season will be already 2 weeks old. And I know you guys, you're talking about working on these photos for your preview. When is that going to come out? When can fans of high school football expect to see that?
Our football Pigskin Preview 2017 will drop the day before the season starts. I do believe it's either the 18th or the 19th. That's Thursday before the very first Friday. And I
17th.
Think that's August.
17th.
Yeah, it'll be the 17th then. I don't set up publication dates. I just write publication. Okay. So it just ends up being it'll come out the day before the season starts. So, again, we are cutting it really close to the wire. But we're also, a lot of these teams are cutting it close to the wire. You have a lot of teams right now in the region that are talking about, man, we really need these next 2 to 3 weeks. We really need these next 2 to 3 weeks. I was just talking about this with Ryan before, you know, our photo shoot in Princeton and Mayfield. These teams, it doesn't matter how comfortable we feel going into the season, you always wish you had one more week of practice. You just want to be at your very best going into the season. And so our football tab, we will try our very best to have the most updated information in it. But even then, especially with high school football, sometimes there's changes at the very last second. And, you know, for better or for worse, teams are really tinkering with things going into the regular season. That's just part of it. When you have so many moving parts, so many kids, life happens, and you got to plan around that.
A lot of issues as well, as I follow some of the coaches on Twitter, and saw where they've had to call off practices because of the heat index, and that's just something that nowadays that they deal with. About 50 years ago, they would have never thought about it, but they didn't really realize the safety issues that were being caused. Nowadays, safety is number one on that list for players.
Well, and you're praying for rain, too. I mean, you want a rain out or two, so that way you can practice the rest of the week, because you need something to cool the week off. As a matter of fact, we should get a little bit of rain. I believe a lot of places will have had some rain Thursday night and going into Friday morning, and that's going to be a blessing going into the weekend. A lot of these teams have scrimmages coming up, too, so the temperatures really have to start dropping. You have a lot of teams, Neil, practicing from 7 to 9 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 to 8:30, a couple programs, and then you have some programs going into the twilight, practicing from about 6 to 9, 7 to 9, some of them 8 to 10 p.m. They're getting an early dinner, and then they're, you know, kind of taking an hour to get warmed up, and then they're practicing into the night. And that's, you know, I mean, you talk about the type of strain that the heat delivers. I mean, 3 days this past week, they've had a heat index of 108 or better, and so you just can't practice in that. Or if you do practice in that, you have to practice in like 10 to 15 minute intervals, and it's really hard to get a lot of consistent work done when you're on the field, off the field, on the field, off the field. You really need to be on the field for about half an hour at a time, just so that you can get some of these repetitions in. And just that's, it's all muscle memory for these guys.
Let's back up to OVC Football Media Day, and no surprise that earlier this week, Tuesday, we saw Jacksonville State pick to win it. UT Martin picked second. We also found out that their talented running back, Jamie Bowe, out for the season with an Achilles issue. Murray State picked eighth. That's actually a little lower than I thought the Racers would be picked, considering where they have so many starters returning offensively and defensively. But I believe with that quarterback situation, when you hear a head football coach say, I got six that I'm looking at, haven't really made a decision, that to me is probably what it went into a lot of that in terms of them being picked eighth.
Maybe. I think that, you know, I kind of mentioned that a little bit in my story. I mean, obviously it's the preseason and these kind of things don't matter. It's how you finish. But the perception, you know, the perception doesn't have to be the reality, but sometimes perception is the reality. And if the Racers didn't, you know, don't have a starting quarterback going into week one of the season, obviously that puts a lot of question in SIDs and coaches' minds. Hey, listen, not really sure where that offense is going. Furthermore, while the defense has improved markedly over the last 2 years under Coach Boone, going into this third year, the Racers are still a season away from, you know, giving up 35 points per game. And while the defense was markedly improved last season, particularly in rush defense, there was still just a lot of scoring going on. And that's prototypical in FCS football. It's also prototypical for Racer football. When you're running the football up the field as many times as that offense does, that puts the defense back on the field, and they know that. But going into this season, I think it's very fair to say that while you have that many defenders returning that are lettermen or star previous starters, you've got to trim that down. 35 needs to be 32, 31, 30, 29, however much less it can be, it needs to be. And I know that Coach Boone's preaching that. Turnovers and keeping the ball out of the end zone. I think they'd rather give up six field goals instead of three touchdowns and three field goals. It's just one of those situations where they've got to really keep guys out of the red zone. And I know that that'll be a focus this year. Again, I'm not disparaging any of this, but other coaches and SIDs in the area, you know, they look at the numbers from last year. Yes, the Racers had a prolific offense. Their defense was improved. But how much more can that defense improve this year to pick up the offense? And that's probably why they were picked eighth. I'll be honest, I picked them fifth. I think they can follow up last season with a strong finish this season. But a lot of it will come down to, can they pick a quarterback and get a consistent offense rolling and then the defense perform at a high level? And, I mean, we'll know in 3 months when the season's over.
One of the players who was not picked on the All-OVC defensive team, although I think he was probably worthy of that, was Lamont Crittenden, who you mentioned. He was at OVC Football Media Day, very praiseworthy of the improvements the defense had made. Also praised the offense, especially the receivers. He says they're the best in the conference, but one defensive player that did make it was DeMontre Wade, who was not in attendance at Media Day, but he certainly made an impact on making that defense better last year, Ed.
Yeah, absolutely. He was third in the nation in passes defended, 3 interceptions, 15 pass deflections. I mean, this is a guy that's grown up alongside Lamont Crittenden and several of those other defenders that have been on the team 3, 4, and 5 years. I mean, he's certainly one of those guys that's part of a secondary that's been particularly ball-hawking, been able to create a lot of turnovers and things like that. So, with a guy like DeMontre Wade leading the way from a shutdown standpoint at the corner, position. You know, Dak Wade, you know, Dylan Boone, Lamont Crittenden, Quincy Williams. I mean, the list goes on and on. We're missing guys. I mean, they keep talking about Kenny Wooten and how good he's going to be as an addition from Itawamba Community College as a pass rusher. You know, you have the addition of Rico McGraw. Where does he fit in this situation? Marquess Stanford, Nigel Walton, if, you know, corners. What? How deep can this safety position be? You just, you know, they just added Jason Johnson from Western Kentucky. You know, he got a couple of starts last season and played, you know, quite a few games for Western Kentucky last year. So you just wonder how much better is this defense going to be? I mean, and we still haven't even mentioned, you know, two or three other guys that were, you know, contending for all of the defensive snaps last season. So, you know, DeMontre Wade, you know, all OVC preseason team, and, of course, Jordan Gandy, all OVC preseason team, alongside Patrick Smith from Tennessee State. Two guys are really deserving. And honestly, two guys that we should hear their name a lot this season. And I think they know that, too. They know this team will be doing well if we hear their names called a lot this season, whether it's DeMontre Wade pass deflection, DeMontre Wade interception for a touchdown, or Jordan Gandy for a big gain over the middle. Those are the two kind of guys. If we're hearing their names called a lot, then they're stepping up to the challenge. Their perspective sides of the ball.
The concern on Gandy isn't, of course, he's just as talented, maybe even better than he was last year when he had his breakout year, but he doesn't have KD Humphries throwing the ball to him. Can he put up those numbers? Can he exceed those numbers this season with who knows who at quarterback?
Right, and that's a great question. I mean, and the other thing, too, that I ended up asking Jordan at OVC Media Day is last year, I don't want to say that he was hidden in the offense, but he had a couple of guys. I mean, you had Jesse Blackburn really helping you out of the backfield, Demetri Johnson, Mario McGraw out of the backfield. You know, these were guys that were catching. You know, Jonathan Moss had 20-plus catches last year. You know, they expect Moss to kind of do the same thing, if not more, this year. But is there another big man to absorb some of that secondary pressure to keep Gandy in one-on-one coverage? So we might see Gandy line up, and he said this as much at OVC Media Day, we might see Gandy line up in some different unique formations to try and get him just open and out of harm's way, try to avoid some of these double and triple teams. And again, I think teams might be a little foolish to double and triple team him, you know, because there are going to be some other playmakers on this team. But it just ends up, you know, with this type of offense, once he and whoever the quarterback is find some sort of rapport, you know, I would say look out. But in the meantime, they have to be prepared for defenses to focus on Jordan Gandy, take away his deep ball, take away how he can catch over the middle and his sideline opportunities. I know that this offensive scheme, they're looking at that, wondering how our team's going to play Gandy. Are they going to try and test him one-on-one, or are they going to come over the top with a safety, or are they going to bring a linebacker underneath, or, you know, how are they going to get rid of Gandy's capabilities? So we'll see how that plays out, but you know, last year, again, I felt like Gandy was able to kind of get away with some things because, you know, there were other guys just getting one-on-one coverage too. So he was like that needle that you throw through the saran wrap. Like, he was able to pop a defense right up the middle. And this year, you know, he might have a little bit of a tighter grip from other defensive coordinators.
I asked Mitch Stewart in the interview down at Media Day, right at the end, would there be some additions, bowl division transfers or other additions to the roster before camp begins or before the first game? And he kind of had that little grin that tells me the roster we see online right now will not reflect the roster we're going to see. That means there might be some surprises once the Racers take the field in game one against Kentucky Wesleyan.
Well, and that's always the exciting thing about FCS football. I don't think there is an FCS football team in this country that wouldn't love for their last month of camp / to week one of the season have some sort of changes, you know, either a graduate transfer or somebody that's not getting enough opportunities on a depth chart elsewhere, you know, transfer down and become immediately eligible to play. Every FCS program wants that to happen. There's not one in the country that doesn't. I mean, take a look at what Tennessee State's gotten just over the last 3 weeks. You know, they just got a transfer from Georgia at tight end position. That's huge for them. The Racers don't play Tennessee State this year because of that scheduling system that, you know, comes all around with those I always forget the name of those games, those heritage games, I guess, that Tennessee State get, the historical games that they get to add to their schedule. But, you know, nevertheless, at no point does this team stop recruiting. That's just the way FCS football works. And in some ways, I like it. FCS football is an excellent opportunity for bowl division players who perhaps don't get their opportunity elsewhere to find a home and really make an impact at the FCS level. So the Racers are going to be hungry for that hunt. They're always looking for somebody to take the next position, to be the next guy. And the guys on the team right now know that. They know that it's a dogfight to get on this roster. I mean, at some point, maybe you and I will be able to talk about just some of the self-imposed things that go on at Murray State from a scholarship standpoint. But, you know, nevertheless, this is a situation that the Racers, among many FCS football teams, particularly in the OVC, they never stop recruiting. And they never stop trying to look for that next guy that wants an opportunity, that wants to make an impact and keep their career alive. So the hungrier, the better, in my opinion. If you can get FBS transfers, more power to you.
Before I let you go, a little bit of basketball news surfacing in the last week when other schools released their schedules. That's where we get a little bit of information, and we found that Marist will be making a trip to the CFSB Center this coming season. It's a one-game bye game for Murray State. They will not be making a return trip to New York the following week, but that's a pretty good get to the schedule, Ed.
Oh, absolutely. I know you and I were talking about that was a distinct possibility to get Marist as a solid Division I bye game at the CFSB Center. I think it's an excellent mid-major matchup. Again, you know, you and I have kind of talked about it and tiptoed around it, but there's no question that Murray State men's basketball is really trying to piece together a schedule that was competitive alongside with trying to navigate, well, what's going to happen with the Missouri Valley? Because no one knew. And none of us knew. I didn't know. I sure as heck didn't know. I wish you had known. You know, that would have been great if you had had some sort of seeing eye, seeing all crystal and would have known. But none of us knew what was going to happen with that situation. And other teams knew that. And so at no point was it easy for this men's basketball program to sit down and say, okay, here's what our schedule is going to be. Because you know, you and I know as well as anybody, that as sure as Matt McMahon had aimed to deal with Team A, Team B, and Team C, that the Missouri Valley would have said, you know what, we're going to go to three teams and we're taking the Racers and just erase everything you just did on your schedule. And that's just the way the cookie crumbles. So as those, you know, scenarios played out, the Racers now have been left to their own devices trying to find great games, and I think Marist is a great start. Should be a really good home game. Should be a great atmosphere. What's the date on that game?
I actually don't remember off the top of my head.
December 16th.
I believe. Might be.
I'm ballparking that, but I think it's December 16th because I think my wife and I get back from Disney that day. I literally drop my stuff off the game. So I might be in Disney gear at the game. Who knows?
It is the 16th. I just looked.
But I believe we'll see. I think the reporters tweeted that it was December 16th. And there was something else, Neil. You may know a little bit more about this, but you got to think maybe the full schedule's coming within the next month. Do you have any insight on that?
I'm not sure. I do know that even as of this week, they're working on a home-and-home with a school. And that has not been contracted yet. So the fact that they're still working on it this week, I guess maybe if they get that nailed down, they still have maybe a couple of other games to sign off on. The women's schedule, I think, will probably be released pretty soon. But I think for the men, we're still a few weeks out on that.
Gotcha. Well, I was looking at last year's paper, and you always want to do new stuff, but I was looking at last year's timetable, and the schedule, I think, was released the first or second week of August. Because I had a short story on it, just talking about some of the non-conference games and some of the conference games. And you have there was a timetable last year of when that schedule was released. This year, obviously, you know, from your take and from others, it may be a little bit longer. But, you know, you want to give this schedule a due diligence. And there's certainly still some open dates with some great opportunity for the men's basketball program to procure some really good games. And, you know, who knows? Maybe you and I are talking about that in the next 3 weeks or so.
Hopefully so. Ed, I'll let you get on with your busy schedule for the next day or two, and we'll chat hopefully on a regular day next week, all right?
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Ian.
All right. That is Ed Marlowe of the Paducah Sun.
You have been listening to The Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for The Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com free by searching for The Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.